The first reading today, we hear this wonderful phrase, vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. Now that sounds like a guy with a really bad attitude, but it's not. This is written by the wise man as he is looking at his life and recognizing that he has spun his wheels. And for what? Everything that he's worked for, he realized he's going to die. It's all going to be left behind, and somebody else who didn't work for it is going to have it. All these things that he thought were so critically important to have, and they really aren't. The Lord tells us the same thing in the gospel. He says, take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. Now, if that's not a point that people in America need to hear, I don't know what is. Because possessions is what we are all about. Materialism, greed, money. For what? What do we need it all for? I think about this in a couple of different ways. Remember reading some books back when I was younger, when I actually had a little time. I used to love to go to the Boundary Waters. And after I had been there half a dozen or so times, I was reading these books about the Boundary Waters. I wish that I had read them before I went the first time, because the guy explained me perfectly. He said, the first time you go to the Boundary Waters, if you haven't ever been there, you have what they call Duluth Pack. It's a humongous backpack. You put all this junk in because you have to portage. He said, the first time you go up there, you pack about 150 pounds of junk in it. It's like, yep. And he said, when you get home and you unpack it all, you realize you didn't even use half of what was in there. I said, yep. He said, then the second time you go, it'll be about 100 pounds of stuff. I said, yep. And you get back and you realize you didn't even use half of that. The third time it's 75 pounds, and the fourth time it's 50 pounds. And he said, eventually you get to the point where you realize you're going to be out in the wilderness, and there is really not a lot that you need. Very little, in fact. And it makes me stop and think oftentimes, like, how much stuff do we really need? If you ask the average person today, what is it that is absolutely essential? Number one, they're going to tell you that blasted phone that they are attached to. Not one single person on the face of the earth before 2010 had one of those. Not one. In other words, from the beginning of time until 15 years ago, no one on the face of the earth had one of those blasted things. And now, oh, we can't live without it. Really? I guess there was no humanity until 2015 or 2010 or whenever it was that the first cell phones came out. The first smartphones, as they call them. It's like, really? We have made these things into little gods. Which, by the way, a warning for all of you, and they are making no bones about what they are intending to do. So just a warning, don't do it. The next phase, as they call it, of human evolution is going to be to implant something in your brain so that you can be connected directly to the internet. You won't need your stupid phone anymore because you will be it. Boy, doesn't that sound like a great idea? All I have to do is think of what I want, and it's going to be right there in my head. Yeah, that means they're no longer your thoughts. That means you no longer have free will. That means you've given the government total control of yourself. There is no evolution in this nonsense. This is something that is a willful change, and it will no longer be human. So when it comes to this garbage, tell them no. And put your foot down in an absolute way. But they're going to try everything they can to convince you that you need this, which is what they've been trying to convince us of for years and years and years. That's why we have people that do marketing and advertising, to convince us that we need all of these things. Cracked me up a number of years ago. They asked people in Minnesota, okay, Minnesota, would you prefer to live without heat in the wintertime or without air conditioning in the summertime? And you know what the majority of Minnesotans said? I couldn't live without air conditioning. I said, excuse me? There was no such thing until about 50 years ago. And we would rather have air conditioning in the summertime, because a few days of the year it gets really hot, than we'd rather do without heat in the winter when it's 20 below zero. Aren't we brilliant? I mean, really, you gotta think about this. So, how much do we really need? What do we really need? Told you the story before. We had a priest living with us when I was over at St. Agnes. He was from Ethiopia, wonderful man. He lived in a monastery over in Ethiopia. They didn't have things like electricity. He came to America to take care of a community here in the Twin Cities. And he found this fascinating thing in the kitchen that was called a microwave oven. He had never heard of one before in his life. The microwave broke one day. The rest of us couldn't have cared less. He couldn't live without it. He literally went to his church, got the microwave out of their parish hall, and brought it back and put it in the kitchen because he couldn't live without it. He had never seen one just a few months before that. So again, you look at this and you got to ask yourself, what have I been convinced that I absolutely must have? Most of it we don't really need. There is very little that we really need. And the saints have always told us, as long as you have food and shelter and clothing, you're okay. But how many of us would actually believe that? And even if we look at it and say, well, yeah, but shelter, I mean, it's got to be fancy. Look at history. You've got these really, really wealthy people that build themselves massive mansions, and they're gone. Twin Cities hasn't been here all that long. And all kinds of mansions that some of these people built are all gone. It's like, okay, so they made themselves look really impressive. And it's all gone. So do we really need all that? Do we really need a closet that's as big as somebody's bedroom because we have that many clothes? How much do we really need? Life is not about possessions, Jesus said. So again, we can think about that. How much focus are we putting on materialism? How much focus are we putting on money? And how much focus are we putting on our spiritual life? When you die, you will take no money with you. When you die, you will take no material possessions with you. But when you die, you will take your spiritual life with you. So ask yourself, if you were to die today, what do you have to show to the Lord? St. Paul tells us that we are to put our focus not on what is of earth, but on the things of heaven, because we are in Christ. Is that where your focus is? If you stood before the Lord today, would you be able to say, here's what my spiritual life looks like? You are the number one priority in my life. What I have been looking forward to all my life is to be with you for all eternity. Or will we look at Jesus and say, well, my focus was on making more money and getting more materialism and all this stuff, and I really didn't pay any attention to you or the spiritual life or anything else because that wasn't important to me. And all those things that were important, where are they going to be? Left behind, because you can't take any of it with you. I was thinking about it today. I thought, you know, look at the names of streets and buildings and so on. How many people even know who these people were? There are streets named after people from however many years ago. Do you know who they are? For our young people, I remember when I was a kid, on WCCO radio, there was a couple of guys named Boone and Erickson. Out in Brooklyn Park, there was Boone Avenue. So they built a new street that was crossing Boone Avenue, and they called it Erickson Street. They had this big thing because it was the intersection of Boone and Erickson. Does that mean anything to anybody who's young here? Didn't think so. Never heard of them, have you? But they've got streets named after them because they were radio personalities. They're gone. Nobody knows them. Their fame, their fortune, whatever, it's still there on a street sign. And nobody knows who it is. So none of that stuff matters. That's all I'm trying to say. None of it matters. Because it's all going away. That's why St. Paul is telling us, focus on what matters. That's why Jesus is telling us the same thing. Focus on what matters. What our world tells us matters. And what our Lord tells us what matters are just the opposite. And we like to keep up with the Joneses. We like to think that we need all of this stuff. And a lot of it, not anything necessarily wrong with it, but we really don't need it. So just something for each one of us to ponder. Where really is my focus? Where is my heart? Because Jesus said, where your heart, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. What's your treasure? What's most important to you? Yes, we live in a society where you need to have money to pay the bills and so on. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have anything, but I'm saying what's really most important. That's what we have to be concerned about. If what's most important is your family and your faith, you're doing fine. If what's most important is making sure that you have a fortune to give to your family, we've got it in the wrong place. Simplicity is really what it's all about. The further we go from being more simple, the further away from God we become. So our focus needs, if we're going to put it on God, it needs also then to be trying to live more simply. So something we can all ponder. When you think about all the advertisers and all the marketing people telling you that you need this, think critically about it. Ask yourself if that's really true. If I made it thus far in my life without this, is it really necessary to have it now? Probably not. So put your focus where it belongs. Jesus talked about what's going to happen. He said, for those who store up treasure for themselves but are not rich in what matters to God. So what matters to God? You, your soul. That's what matters to God. And therefore the growth in virtue, loving God and loving neighbor, having faith, having hope, having charity. Those are the things that matter to God. Living a holy and virtuous life. That's why St. Paul said, put to death the parts of you that are earthly so that you can live a holy, spiritual, heavenly life. Put your focus on the things of heaven, not the things of earth. That's the challenge for us. When we look at it that way, then we look at all these things of earth and we say, vanity of vanities. It's all vanity. It's all going to be left behind. The only thing that matters is our focus on Jesus Christ.